Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Friends, my name is Glenn Baptiste, and I'm a priest of the Little Mission Diocese of Montego Bay in Jamaica. And I work, and my goodness, I've done so now for 30-some years, with the poor up in the hills of Jamaica. You know, those of you, and I suspect a good number of you have, or if you haven't, you've seen the, you know, the television advertisements with Bob Marley singing, everything will be, how does he sing it? Everything will be okay, whatever he sings. But you know as well as I that Jamaica, along some of the coastal regions, has some very nice coastal beach resorts. And some of them are very nice indeed, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, those very nice resorts, they, at least in great part, to be fair, in great part, they feed Wall Street in New York. And they have very little impact on the poor up in the hills of Jamaica. You know, when we leave those coastal resort regions and begin to penetrate the interior of the island nation, particularly, you know, up in the hills, it is an entirely different set of circumstances. Families up in the hills, and, you know, bless their little hearts. By the way, there's no such thing, you know, up in the hills as consistent employment, consistent salary, you know, health benefit. I mean, forget it. It just doesn't exist. And so these families, because they have no alternative, they work in the informal economy of Jamaica. You know, they will find, they will seek out and find for themselves whatever little day laborer opportunity there might be for the day. And they will earn, you know, in the equivalent of U.S. dollars, they'll earn 15, 18, 20, 25 U.S. dollar for the day. 25 U.S. dollar would be considered, you know, an exceptional day. And these little day laborer opportunities, you know, are not made available to them, you know, consistently day after day. Sometimes, you know, a streak of 3, 4, 5 days may pass before another little opportunity, you know, surfaces for them for a little day laborer opportunity. But the point I wanted to arrive at was, a couple of points. By the way, they use the few little pennies, you know, the few little dollars that they earn to, of course, you know, purchase nutrition for their kids, for their families, for their grandchildren, you know. They'll purchase a little beans, a little rice, and when they can afford it, you know, other variations of protein for their kids as their kids are growing. And it is true to say, you know, that there are a variety of fruit that, you know, that they have access to that grow wild up in the hills of, you know, Jamaica. Breadfruit, mangoes, papaya, so on and so on. But you know, that fruit is only available certain periods during the year and is, you know, not adequate to feed their families year-round. So the few little dollars that they earn from these day laborer opportunities, they'll purchase beans, rice, little health items, and so on and so on. As a consequence of that, you know, because there's so few dollars, they're a little... You know, they live in these little wooden shack homes that are constructed of, most of them are constructed of, you know, bits and pieces of dry rotted lumber that was dry rotted even before they utilized them for their little homes, often patched with bits and pieces of dry rotted tarpaulin, sometimes even patched with palm branches, you know, to try and patch the side of their homes. Dirt floors, their little homes, you know, rusted out corrugated zinc for, you know, roofing material. But during the rainy season, you know, that rusted out corrugated zinc for roofing material leaks like a sieve. The dirt floor is a consequence, you know, in their little shack homes transforms into a coating of mud, you know, a coating of slush. And they'll put, you know, palmetto leaves, coconut branches, so on, to try and carpet the mud. And they lie on these little, just little pieces of star, not styrofoam, what do we call it in English? The spongy foam. What is the word we use? You know what I mean. I can't call the, you know, you come back home and start speaking English again, you forget words, you know, but just foam padding, that's it, foam padding, you know, which, by the way, during the rainy season, you know, the foam absorbs this water. I mean, the conditions are horrible. But the point that I wanted to arrive at to share with you, because these families earn, you know, so little dollars, and the few little dollars that they earn is necessarily used to purchase nutrition, there are $0, zero pennies left over, you know, to repair and to maintain their little shack homes. And so over time, and the climate is harsh, over time their little homes deteriorate, further deteriorate. I was sharing earlier that the worst, the absolute worst that I have seen, and it was just recent, about 3 months ago, we venture up into the hills, you know, with this, you know, those little, you know, one of those little diesel-powered Toyota Land Cruisers, seeking out these families who are living in these kinds of conditions. The absolute worst I've seen was a little lady with her two little sons, and the little mother, by the way, living with the consequence of a stroke. This arm is kind of tucked up and it doesn't, you know, function so well any longer because of the effects of her stroke. Limited mobility, but their little cottage home, little wooden shack, had deteriorated to such a degree that all that was left were two pieces of corrugated zinc, you know, leaning one against the other like that, with a piece of dry rotted tarpaulin draped over the top of it, you know, in an attempt to keep it somewhat dry. And this little lady, even with her stroke, bless her heart, you know, would crawl down on her knees, easier for her kids, of course, but for her, not so easy, and creep into this little thing, kind of like a dog house structure, you know, and that's their home, you know. When you take that and you hold it against the backdrop, you know, of some of those glitzy beach resorts, and you think to yourself, this just doesn't fit. You know, it's like two different Jamaicas, you know. By the way, I'm not discouraging you from going to Jamaica and enjoying those, enjoy. I mean, they're very nice resorts, very nice beaches. I'm becoming increasingly convinced, and I may be wrong, and I'll stand corrected if I am wrong, but I'm becoming increasingly convinced that at least one of the reasons why these resorts keep us corralled, you know, in the resort property itself, is that they do not wish for us to see the other reality of what Jamaica is, you know, up in the hills. These families live in painfully raw destitution. I was sharing also earlier at 8 o'clock, another little gentleman, he's I don't know, it's hard to determine his, I'm going to guess he's late 60s, partially blind, and I don't know how that unfolded, didn't want to ask him, but he had found this abandoned house 150 years ago. That would have been a nice house. Clearly, you know, it had wraparound verandas, you know, but a wooden structure. The whole backside is deteriorated, had fallen away. Just big gaping hole in the back of this structure. The wooden floors are, I was, you know, I'm kind of a fatso. I was afraid to, I mean, you step on the floors and it's sponge, and I think, oh, I'm going to go through this floor and wreck my ankle. I mean, it's, but that's what, he adopted that abandoned place as his home, a little piece of foam that he was lying on. He had a little pot outside with a sticks, a little fire. And in the pot, he was boiling, the day that I was visiting, when we found him, he was boiling a little bit of rice, just a little tiny bit of rice, and had some leaves. And I don't know what the purpose of the leaves were, and I didn't want to ask him, you know, in the rice. But I asked him, I said, is this your meal for today? And bless his heart, he said to me, no, Monsieur, that's my meal for the next 3 or 4 days. This little tiny bit of rice. This little guy is, at any rate, here's my ask. You know, this Food for the Poor organization that you folks are familiar with, you folks have been participating, you know, in the outreach efforts of this organization since 1999. I deeply admire how you have touched and participated in the transformation of the lives of these families who live in these kinds of painfully raw destitution. And I'll tell you, you know, permit me to say this. You know, these poor, these families over the years up in the hills of Jamaica, I know, I don't know all of them, obviously, but I know many of them. I know them, I know their kids, know their grandkids, you know. I have mass with them up in the hills. But the point I wanted to arrive at, these are folks you have not yet met. And yet, over the years, you have consistently reached out and participated in helping to transform the lives of these families of persons you haven't even met. I've met them. You haven't. And I don't know what you make of that, but I think that that speaks volumes about the character of who you are as a community, that you would consistently, for 24 years now, reach out, touch the lives of these families that you have not yet even met. I wanted to, you know, you folks already participate, that's a given. You already participate in the outreach efforts of this Food for the Poor organization. So I wanted to share with you a project, you know, that is unfolding right now. You know, up in the hills of my diocese in Jamaica, we go up, we identify these families living in these conditions, we share that, pardon my allergies, we share that with Food for the Poor organization, who comes behind us, and to the degree that they can, you know, to the degree that sponsors, to the degree that donors are enabling them to do this, they will build homes, these neat little, they're neat little two-bedroom cottage homes. Some of you are familiar with those little cottages because you've sponsored them in other countries, other poor countries in the past. There are two little bedrooms, a little bathroom. Now, these little, I mean, the organization keeps improving these little cottages. Now they even have a flush toilet in the little bathroom. A little shower stall, the shower stall does not, you know, have hot running water but it's a little stall with a drain in the bottom. And the purpose of it is so that these families can bathe in privacy and in dignity, you know, in counter-distinction to bathing, you know, in the bush somewhere, which has sadly on occasion, you know, invited a little bit of trouble. A neat little kitchen. The kitchen has, they used to be propane-powered little cooking devices. Now they're solar-powered. The lighting in these little cottages is solar-powered. They're furnished, no beds, tables, chairs. They're neat little cottages. Food for the Poor is building these little cottage homes, you know, up in the hills, for families that we identify. So I wanted to ask you, you know, given that you already participate, I wanted to ask you, you know, to whatever degree you can, you know, to participate in helping to get these little cottages built for families that are living in those conditions. If you're able to sponsor one of these cottages on your own, God bless you. You know, I mean, it really transforms, you know, a family's life. You'll be in receipt of a little photograph of the cottage that you sponsor after it's built, of course, and a photograph of the family to whom your cottage has been given to. But so that's very nice if you're able to do that. But not all of us can do that. My point is, my ask is, you know, even a piece of a cottage, you know, door frame, window frame, solar power kit, whatever, because you put all these pieces together, you, of course, you know, you end up with another cottage again. So I wanted to ask, you know, for your help in that regard, to whatever degree, you know, you are able to help. The little Food for the Poor brochure things, which is nothing new to you folks. I mean, for 24 years, you folks are familiar with them. They're in your seats or on the table in your narthex. Take them, please, you know. By the way, take extras. There were extras on purpose. You know, give to friends, to people who you think, you know, might care. Think what you might be able to do. In the backside of that little brochure there, as you well remember, there's an envelope that detaches. That envelope has a code number that is stamped on the envelope. Don't ask me what it is, but you'll see this number. That is a code number that, you know, any gift that arrives with that code stamped on it is automatically, you know, by the organization, is allocated for the purpose of housing up in the hills of Jamaica. So take them with you, you know, or go online, you know, get a gift on the internet, or take those things, drop them off at the post. I mean, who cares how you do it? But I'd like to invite you to do so if you're able to. For the purpose of giving these little families a hand up. By the way, there's another, you know, Food for the Poor organization that you folks have worked with for 24 years now. You folks have, it's Food for the Poor that is building these little cottage homes. There's another, it's a Florida-based organization. It's called Friends of the Catholic Diocese of Montego Bay. And after these little cottages are built, this other organization called the Friends will come in, and again, to the degree that they're able, if donors are sponsoring them, they will gift these little cottage industry poultry farms, both layer hens and broiler hens, you know, to give these families a little economic hand up. There's a little mother, her name is Crystal, two sons. Both of her sons are disabled, and I don't know how that happened, and I didn't want to ask her that question, but bless her little heart, you know. But she was a recipient of one of these cottage industry poultry farms. these friends gift the materials, you know, to build the coop. And she built, she, Crystal, built it herself. And I just a couple of weeks ago, she's asking for more. She wants to now expand her her little chicken coop. You know, you give them a hand up, and off they go running, you know, to self-sustainability. I think that they really are a neat people, you know. By the way, you ask them, how are you doing today? Almost invariably, they'll say, I'm blessed. Or sometimes they will say, which is a kind of a favorite Jamaican expression that I really like, they'll say, I'm giving God thanks. And yet they're living in these conditions. I think that speaks to, you know, the character of who these people are. Now, I don't want to be Pollyannic about it. Are there some idiots up in the hills too? You bet. You know, like anywhere, you know, but in great part, you know, they really are a neat people. So thanks a bunch, you know, for helping over the years now. And thanks a bunch, you know, to whatever degree you're able to help with, you know, getting these cottages built for families that are living in those conditions. And if you ever wish to come, you know, sometimes we have little groups that want to come and see and meet these families. Contact us. I'd be happy to show you, you know, up in the hills of Jamaica. So, you know, you folks, unlike these two sons in the gospel, this is a passage that we're all quite familiar with. You know, the first son saying, yeah, I'll go help, but then doesn't. And the second kid saying, no, I won't help, but then changes his mind and goes. You folks are not like any of these two boys, because you said yes right from the very outset, back in 1999. You said, yes, I'll help. And as a number of you have been helping. So thank you, you know, for who you are. And for your sensitivity, you know, to these little people who live, you know, in these conditions. I'm going to run back to the airport in Charlotte, and so. But thank you for what you've done over the years. And Father Joseph, thanks for the invite. We'll see you another time. And Deacon Mike, be well. Thank you, folks. Okay.
We pray that you have a safe journey back and bring many blessings back to the people that you serve in Jamaica.